WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
And welcome to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. So, if you've been to the airport the last several years, ever since we rebuilt the Indianapolis International Airport, you know it is a fantastic airport, one of the best airports in the United States and the world, and that's why the board of the Indianapolis International Airport several months ago brought in from someplace warm Mario Rodriguez, who is the executive director of the Indianapolis Airport, the Indianapolis Airport Authority, and Drew. They were looking for a community affairs director. They were looking for somebody to talk about how wonderful our airport is to the community and the world. And you know who they got? From across the street, Angela Kane. Now the new director of community affairs of the airport, Angela Kane, and Mario Rodriguez of the airport join me live. Guys, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I am honored to actually be a part of the airport. I'm public affairs director connecting them to the community. And it's wonderful because I love this community.
And so your first day at the airport is today.
today, and we're here.
Y'all are lucky that there's no snow.
Very lucky. Amos, thank you. Thank you for having us on your show. This is wonderful. Yeah, I'm very, very lucky we don't have any snow. A lot of people are very happy at the airport that we don't have any snow. particularly. But remember, a lot of flights have been delayed because of the impending snowstorm.
And I understand this is one of those emergencies where the airlines tears up that rule that says we charge you a lot of money to rebook your flight.
So isn't that great?
Yeah. So they know this is something, and there are flights that are leaving because I just now noticed that the 140, well, this is the Rivals, the 140 something from Charlotte, it came in on time.
That's absolutely.
So if you're going to the west and the south, maybe you'll be fine if the plane didn't have to come from the east coast.
Absolutely. But remember, this transportation system works like a grid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anything affecting the northeast or anything affecting a large portion of the United States usually has a ripple effect to the entire United States.
Is this the kind of storm, and given the impact that it's going to have on real major airports on the Northeast, these once-in-a-lifetime storms, are there lessons that our airport can pick up on? I mean, we're here. This week is the anniversary of when we had a blizzard back in 78. Ways to be prepared for this?
What's interesting, this airport is, when it comes to that sort of snow removal, the best airport in the United States. It won awards. I was in Long Beach, California, reading magazines and reading the accolades this airport received because it maintained the airport opened.
Mm. How important is it, the fact that this is an airport where, because every time a plane lands and takes off, you get money. You get paid.
Absolutely.
Cash register rings in your office every time a plane lands and takes off.
Well, every time a plane lands and takes off, the cash register and the community rings.
Okay.
More economic impact, more jobs. The economic impact from FedEx, for example, is
that's
huge.
That's where I was going to. Mm-hmm. How important is the FedEx part of the airport, that on that southern part of the airport?
About $1 million per aircraft per day.
A million per day.
So we maintain the runways and taxiways open. Mm-hmm. The airport is open.
Mm-hmm. You get a lot of complaints from residents around there when they hear those FedEx planes come in at 1 in the morning and leave at 3 and 4 in the morning?
It used to be that way. And many years ago, and I'm talking as an industry expert, it used to be a lot more complaints. But the aircraft are getting better and better.
In terms of being quieter when they take off.
Quieter. The 727s are being replaced by 777s, which are extremely quiet, could carry a lot more cargo. Mm-hmm. You could hardly hear those things nowadays.
The airport did something last week in terms of making available for sale, putting back on the tax rolls a bunch of acres of your property. Exactly where was that? Is that property? Is that where the old terminal was over by the hotels at High School Road and Sam Jones Expressway?
All of the above.
Okay.
There's areas towards the west of the airport that the airport purchased for noise mitigation. Mm-hmm. There's the old terminal site. There's areas north of the airport that the airport bought for noise mitigation purposes. Now, all of this land we're putting back to productive use. It'll create tax benefit. It'll create economic impact. And it is an overall good for the community. We're going to concentrate on what we concentrate on, our core competence, which is to run the airport.
Is it, but if it was land that was used for noise, mm-hmm. and then you open it up for commercial, why would a business want to be there? They might say, wait a minute, that plane's going to come over. Your plane's going to come over every hour or so forth. I don't want to have an office building when all of a sudden I'm going to go,
well, it used to be, good point. It used to be residential for the most part.
Right.
And commercial would be a very, very compatible land use. And remember, the aircraft have gotten very, very quiet. There's a big difference between an older generation jet to a brand new generation jet.
We're talking with the folks from the airport, Mario Rodriguez, Angela Cain. So, Angie, what are your duties out there?
You know, this is day one for me, and you got me. So I'm still,
you're still learning.
Actually, I'm still learning. Right. I'm literally just walking in, clocking in today, and went to a luncheon. And so we're just now coming here from that luncheon.
How important is it going to be, you know, walking around learning what happens at an airport?
You know, I already am fascinated by it. For one, it's a beautiful structure. When I walked in, I was so excited. It's it's like if you've not seen the airport, you have to come out and just visit and see it and visit the Civic Plaza and have lunch out there and really take it in, because it is the most beautiful airport I've ever been a part of. So there's an energy there. But what really attracted me to this job, my job will be to let people know more about that airport, to let them know that this is a community resource, to bring people out, to have community events, to get the community more involved, to get them more community involved, and to attract people to the city.
Have people forgotten that? And sometimes people think because of airport and security and 9/11 that you can't even roll up to the airport unless you have a ticket, and they don't realize that there is this the Celebration Plaza, and that anyone without a ticket can roll up, park in the garage, go into the main area of the airport, into, you call the community plaza, I said it looks like a shopping mall to me, into a shopping mall, and you're there, and it's only past that where you hit the men and women of TSA and the security elements kick in.
I think because of the security elements, 9/11, everything above, people have forgotten even more. They forgot that this airport is their asset. So it's theirs to benefit from. The community benefits to the tune of, I think, of about $4.5 billion in economic impact because of this asset being here. And it's theirs. It's their. It's there to visit. It's there. We give tours. We're able to give tours, whatever the community would like.
People also forget that under your supervision is not just the airport out in Decatur Township and a little bit of Hendricks County towards Ronald Reagan Parkway, but there are also satellite airports, the airport off of 38th Street and Eagle Creek. That's part of the airport, the one up on 96th Street before you get to Interstate 69. That's part of the airport.
There's two other reliever airports and the heliport downtown. So this is all a transportation system for the Indianapolis Metroplex.
The biggest question that people ask about the airport is, why not more nonstop flights? Is that because of the way the grid and the airport, the airline transportation system works in this country?
Absolutely. The airport, first of all, that's a misconception. The airport has more direct destinations than most other comparable airports. You either have two types of airports, O&D, origination and destination, that people originate from, or their destination is that airport. We're one of those.
Right.
Or hub airports that some airlines have chosen to make a hub.
Right.
Delta and Atlanta being one of them. But now this airport is considered by Condé Nast the best airport in the United States. We cannot achieve that by being a hub airport. Why? Because Delta, Atlanta, for example, 7 out of 10 people are not from Atlanta, are not originating, and their destination is not Atlanta. They're just moving through the airport, and it's very hard to elevate customer service when you have that mass of humanity moving through the airport. So hubbing is kind of mutually exclusive to customer service in some aspects. Also, a fact, airlines are not creating hubs anymore. The last hub was created about 24 years ago. They're
hubbing. Even they're stopping that.
Exactly. They're de-hubbing the activity. There'll still be hubs in the future. That's not going to go away because there is a place for hubbing airports and hubbing airlines.
Right.
But the airlines are not creating hubs anymore. Now, the direct destinations that we have that right now are up to 38 direct destinations, with more to come, by the way.
And then there's, and then I think people were yelling because they think there's some people that want to go to Los Angeles and not have to stop in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona on their way to Los Angeles. And that's coming in the,
summer.
Right. That's going to come in the summer.
That's coming in the summer.
On Southwest.
Southwest Airlines. Yeah. It's a beautiful, the way they're changing, Southwest is making a couple of changes that is attracting a little bit more of the business community. Mm-hmm. L.A. and Boston.
Mm. Uh-oh. Drew? Maybe I can make the NAACP Image Awards next year.
There you go.
And not have to go and stop in five different places to get out that way in L.A. One of the challenges is at one point there was talk about a hotel at the new terminal, at the midfield terminal. Is that still in or out, or the economy has to get better?
Hey, we're looking at it. We were looking at the numbers. In some cases, hotels in O&D airports make a lot of sense. In other cases, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because hotels, that type of hotel system works very well for a hub airport where you have transient passengers staying overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, it doesn't work at an O&D airport.
Is one of the reasons that you're only 10 minutes from downtown or 15 minutes from downtown? If you can be at the JW quicker than you can getting around to the hotel on the backside of the airport.
Yeah,
or which used to be the front side of the airport.
There's multiple reasons, and that's one of the main reasons.
In terms of other challenges facing this airport,
the airport is doing rather well.
Mm-hmm.
Financially and with its air service, it's doing rather well. Challenges nationwide are that four airlines actually control 85% of the domestic market share. American, Delta, Southwest, and United.
That's it.
That's it. But we're looking at the future, and that's what you pay us for, to look at the future. So we're looking at the airlines like Allegiant that we brought in.
All right.
They stabilize pricing. We're looking at the JetBlues of the world.
Yeah.
We're looking at the Alaska Airlines of the world and several other airlines that will be expanding in the near future. You could probably not expect a lot of expansion from the big four because they're already mega airlines.
Yeah.
But we are looking towards the future, and that sort of vision of connecting our community back to the airport is very important to us.
On the back side of the airport, the Hendricks County side of the airport, is the what used to be the United Airlines facility. How much of that is used?
Pretty much about 80% of it is utilized right now.
Mm-hmm.
AAR, Republic, and there are other entities that are in there.
Is that a worry for you that, you know, one of those entities could decide to pull out those jobs and then we're stuck with a white elephant?
It's always a worry. But when it was conceived, at the time it was conceived, it was a great economic impact tool with the United base.
Right.
Things change. But we are going with the change and we're adapting to change.
Before you came, there was a controversy between Public Art in the terminal and making some money. In terms of, we were talking about before you got here, billboards for ads. Have you all figured out how to put the ads up? Because any airport you go into, there's ads, and that helps to pay the rent versus the Public Art, because that helps the terminal stand out.
We're looking at things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at things, it's not just so much about the bottom line, it's about value.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at things in 360 degrees, not just at a bottom line equation. So going forward, you're going to see that we're going to be more thoughtful in things that we do, in actions that we do. Bottom line is important. The airport is doing great financially, but art is also important to the community.
A couple final things there. You all are part of the effort with the state of Indiana, with the Hoosier Lottery, and with the state's universities in this disparity study that the state is doing in terms of the problems of access of minority-owned businesses. As you're coming in, and as a minority, how are you viewing the actuality of how well the airport is doing with minority-owned, women-owned, and veteran-owned businesses?
We're slowly making strides. We've got a long way to go, and I'm a believer and I'm a proponent of improving our bottom line when it comes to DBE, XBE, MBE, to minority participation at the airport.
Does your if an airline, if Southwest buys something from a local vendor, do those numbers count toward your minority participation at the airport or counts against Southwest?
Counts towards their minority participation, yes.
Okay, so they could be doing good and you're not getting the credit for it.
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
As long as we're building the capacity, the minority participation capacity, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. As long as if a minority company is selling to Southwest and they're taking credit for it and we are the catalyst for that, mm-hmm. I'm happy with that. But we want to build our own capacity as time goes on.
The fact that you're not building anything, does that limit the ability for minority? I mean, what types of things could minority-owned businesses provide the airport?
Oh, no, we're building all the time.
Okay.
We're building all the time. We're looking at a capital program going forward of about $100 million. That'll create jobs.
What are you
jobs.
Building?
We're rebuilding the airfield. You look at a brand-new terminal, but the brand-new terminal is only about 8 years old. It's beautiful. But remember, on the back side, you have 20-year-old runways, taxiways that need to be rebuilt. And money has to be pumped.
And you can't have a pothole in a runway.
No. Yeah. That's not going to work. Yeah.
There's like perfect perfect.
It has to be completely level, completely perfect. And we are going to be investing heavily into our airfield. Mm-hmm. There's jobs opening for contractors, mm-hmm. for service industry, for engineers, surveyors, geotechnical firms to come in. And we are going to be heavily, heavily pushing DBE participation.
All right. And that's all coming.
That's all coming.
And then that's what she's going
to
be
doing. My goal is to tell the story.
That's part of it. Going everywhere.
We are so happy she joined us. She will tell the story that the airport is a community's airport. And it really is. It's a community asset for, and in many, many communities forget that it's their asset. It's their economic driver. It's their asset.
And I don't know that they still, at one point they were doing concerts in the Civic Plaza. And I don't know whether they kind of stopped that or.
No, we did. Still. We started it during Christmas again.
Okay.
And we're going to pick that up. Actually, we've already started the conversation there to do some things that are entertainment, give the arts community a chance to have a voice and a presence out there mm-hmm. so that the public can enjoy that. And just, you know, Amos, the thing that really appealed to me, first of all, is Mario, because he really does understand and has a heart for this community. And he's newer here. Right. What also appealed to me was just the idea that there are stories out there to tell, of course, the business story, right. but there's also the human story. Think of the moments that are created out at an airport. People are coming there mm-hmm. because they're seeing family. There are family reunions at the airport. There are veterans coming home. We want to celebrate that. We want to tell the story and let people know that this really is a place where memories are made and moments are made, more so than just a business.
So those kind of things where, you know, a youth group goes to be in a championship and they bring the banner home to Indianapolis, home to Indiana, celebrate those kind of
things.
You got
it.
Absolutely.
As well as the human stories of just the little things, of the positive things that airports, whether they're airport staff or staff of the airlines, do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Looking forward to it. I think there's just so much. It's a little city. It is like a little city when you go out there, and there are so many things that people don't know that I didn't even know about the airport until I decided, man, this is where I want to be. And it's also a gateway into the city. And if we connect more with the city and try to bring more people to this city, let them know how wonderful it is, I think that's another story we can tell to our passengers and promote the city more.
I've only been here for 6 months, and mm-hmm. this is a wonderful, wonderful city. From an outsider's point of view, which I still am to a certain degree, mm-hmm. this is a world-class city, and a world-class city deserves a world-class entrance. It has a world-class entrance. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful city. Great airport. It's the number one airport in the United States.
And I don't think a lot of people know that.
Ranked how?
Ranked by Condé Nast Magazine. By the Traveler Magazine?
The Traveler Magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they ranked this airport number one. They ranked another airport, which I used to work at, Long Beach. And they ranked another airport, which I used to work at, Palm Beach, which I built both of those airports.
So wait. Palm Beach in the desert, all the rich people go through.
No, Palm Beach in Florida.
That was number three.
Palm Beach in Florida.
Long Beach.
Southern California.
Where if you can't get into LAX and you want to get out of the airport quick, you go to Long Beach.
Absolutely.
And then this one where it gets cold every now and then.
But this is a grand entrance. This is a grand entrance.
Mm-hmm. And Condé Nast. Do the people bring you Vanity Fair in them?
They say it's the nation's North America's number one airport, and a lot of people don't know that. That's another story we want to tell for the last 2 years, and then a year or so before that as well.
Our the vision at the airport right now, one of the visions, is to align with everybody else's vision. Mm-hmm. This asset aligns very well with Visit Indy. Okay. That brings in conventions and brings in economic impact.
But it's also to bring back a point of pride for the people who helped. That's the other thing. People think that their tax dollars, the tax dollars they pay for the sales tax and the income tax, paid for our airport. Who pays for this airport?
Zero tax dollars are involved.
So Drew pays nothing for this airport.
If he uses the airport, he will pay.
Oh,
if
yeah,
he doesn't
park,
use the airport,
park.
Yeah, he doesn't pay.
It usually goes back to those planes that land and take off.
Exactly. It's a fee-based structure, so the airlines pay. Mm-hmm. We make money from the concessionaires that sell the rental car, the parking,
mm-hmm.
From renting the old United Hub to AAR. We make money off of all of that, and whatever is deficient in the money that we generate, the airlines pay for.
Is it obviously with FedEx, are they bringing those real humongous planes in here? What are they called? The 787, 797?
No, they're bringing in, the new generation that they're going to bring in is the 777, which is huge. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And those would be the ones coming from China straight here.
Absolutely.
They don't stop.
They don't need to.
How big can they get? And have they actually landed one of those? Or
no, I think they've landed one
just to see would it work.
Yeah, no. The airfield could take the largest aircraft on the face of the planet.
Okay,
this is a very capable. The airfield and the
we
and
can
the airport.
So we can handle anything Mr. Boeing or Mr. Airbus has
on the
drawing board.
Absolutely, yes.
We know we can handle Air Force One. We already figured that out.
Oh, hey, absolutely. And it gives the community. See, this is part of what we're doing and what Angela's going to be helping us with. Mm-hmm. We're trying to concentrate on our core competence because our core competence is to run an airport.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make sure that airport could handle whatever it needs to handle for the benefit of the community, whether it's a 777 or any other type of aircraft.
And the other thing, if people are planning to fly in the next couple of days and you have reservations, check with your airline, check on your smartphone, check with the website of the airport, which is at IndianapolisAirport.com, just to see what the status of your flight is. Not because the weather here is great.
Right.
It's the East Coast is a mess, and they're already closing down the East Coast.
Domino effect.
I think the dominoes have already hit. Angela Kay, the new community affairs, the wonderful, good stuff director at the Indianapolis Airport, and Mario Rodriguez, the executive director, the head guy. Drew is so happy because he figures that he might get a parking space out there. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Amos.
All right.